resentment when it is rebelled, or pleasure when it is esteemed. Neither of these two my body feels, so why do I exhaust myself? Some people said, oh, when I'm angry, my feel something ill or warm. Some people have a stomach pain. So from this you can see there's some relationship mind and body. But it's true, if one person don't understand the language, then perhaps if you say very negative words, they don't feel anything. Or people sleeping or something. If you say something negative words, they don't care. But you don't really directly reflect that. Only mind calculating or analyzing things and wrongly sometimes making some point or conclusion or perception is the key to make you feel this and that. So this is one great wisdom path. Let's see, that's this one. I think there's an English translation of this. So I think we said a few times, but this is said. The Treaty of Great, the Treaty on the Great Panchaparamita, Transcendental Wisdom Treaty on the, this one said, we have a full kind of matured body, if anybody, but only wisdom can analyze or see things or good and bad, and to divide analyze what is benefit, what is a kind of a harm. And once, if you want to really achieve something, gain ultimate benefit, then you should practice Dharma. And only body cannot bring the wisdom, result of wisdom. So this way, if somebody say something bad to our kind of feature, looking, and people don't like your skin or you are too tall or too short or something, then they said, body don't care if you don't mind. And if you somebody prays or something also too, why we are too much overjoyed by people saying our physical body is this or that, even old age or sick, this is a kind of a all universal natural process. So no one can live ever young, ever 21. And then if it's like if this body, it's ultimately people are praising or criticizing, and they pointing to this body. If this body don't care, then why you care? And then this way, we think that we own this body, so we care. But it's saying actually we are just companions, like a temporary associate with this body. And if somebody criticize this earth or our planet Earth, you may not angry, but we are associated with this earth from the beginning of your born and until your death. So it's always we are 2 feet or on the ground. So it's like this body, it's kind of very close seeing. So if you don't mind people criticizing the earth, then it should also have a relaxed kind of attitude towards our body. And yes, please, you again.
If I say I do it, since it's left by other people, others whom I thus regard as friends, since all appreciate the bodies that they have, why do I not take pleasure in them too?
This is of course, you can argue with that previous point, said because the soul, if I know this body cannot analyze by itself, only mind, but if body taking care of by mind, then you can make other people like you. This way you think even though mind is invisible, but he wants to appear through the body and then making other people. Like that mind have the channel of this body and making others can see, can hear, or can contact. And become a friend, and it's still kind of expanding one's existence or feelings. Then it said, why you don't expand to more, to reach all people like themselves, or have a wish other people like them, love them. So we just directly love other people. It's much easier for us. If you just only love yourself, too much concentrate and attention to yourself, and you may separate yourself from others, and then you have a lonely isolation feeling and depressed and more kind of misunderstanding and a lot of things. But if you can hold greater scale of all sentient beings as a your kind of, you have to protect or love all sentient beings, you tolerate, have a tolerance to all beings, then since we can say ourselves, we have a very strong wish to have a happiness or gain happiness or pay let's see, this one said so you wish other people love you, and then automatically it makes sense you love other people, then other people also love you. If you hate other people, you may also create a lot of hatred in other people's mind. So in this, everybody have a different form of a physical body. And then if we love other people, also we love others' feature, the physical existence. And some people who have a great love, and then they kind of taking care of sick people or children when they are very young, or just a very early age of infant. These are seeming like all face are full of wrinkles, and the skin very red, and then seems not very beautiful, or something like that. Later maybe become beautiful, but in that time, but the people who have a love, and they really feel a strong connection. And also some people do have a very strong attachment, or the criticizing typical type of people. If let's see, if you looks like your nose are inside of your small nose, maybe some people don't like. I think in modern days, if you have a very low, what's it called, the, you know, yeah, and then it consider as a not very beautiful or something in many places. You, or you have maybe other kind of a type. Even I think in general, many Asian countries now more people in modern society they like European kind of looking. I think more gray, golden hair or something, maybe white skin, something. These are because you can see many advertisement on the street on the selling houses or clothing. These are more, and or but people who some people have a great love in their mind or open-minded person, I think they have a more understanding of just physical body. You look just physical body, it's wrong thing to do it. And overall, everybody deserve love and respect. And also, you can see in San Francisco, I think it's good. Sometimes it's nice. I usually used to sometimes take the BART, go, yes, and the place. And sometimes people came and then even maybe a long time haven't taken shower or something. But some ladies or young people, they can definitely can smell that unpleasant feeling, but they remain like nothing happens and very nice. Similarly, in culture, or if you are very much emphasizing the money-oriented kind of thinking, then somebody poor, you immediately look down poor people. It's possible. Or a disadvantaged kind of society, then people become more kind of a different attitude towards this and that. So as a human being, we can understand we are not request them to have a kind of pure vision and equal equanimity in their mind. But it's also morally good if you can practice and then have a wider perspective and a warmer heart and look everybody as a kind of a lovable and equal kind of feeling. And this one, I think, for me, I think I like this words very much. I can see, we have a, this physical body, everybody does. And that's why we think, how we, what we need to, let's say, we don't like people discriminate us or dislike us. So other people also same. So that's why we have a ground, strong, solid reason that based on this fact, we should also extend our love to other people. Yes, please.
Therefore, free from all attachment, I will give this body the benefit of Jesus. And though it is afflicted of so many faults, I shall adopt it as my necessary tool.
Thank you. So it's said not to thinking about oneself too much. And also too much grasping towards, kind of habituated towards centralizing oneself, or too much concern about one's kind of gain and lose. And instead of in Bodhisattva's aspiration is to serving sentient beings, even you need to, even some necessary sacrifice or happily kind of offer the service. So temporarily, should be home. Temporarily, of course, you are serving others. You think, why people don't serve me? Why should I serve other people? And I remember in here, some people say, why me? Good or bad, why me? And it said, for long run, it's a very good. But also, even in this temporary life, also true. If you always can be nice, do good to people, extremely cases, I think people won't appreciate. But most of the time, I think people very appreciate and become very stable in the long term, very healthy kind of life. And also in Buddhist, said this is a go beyond of samsara, gain transcendental wisdom is possible through this compassion. And if you know how to train your mind and change your attitude or kind of perceptions to have a good intention towards other people, and that is very necessary for one who wants to wake, total waken, achieve total waken state. So in Madhyamika, introduce on the middle way in that book. Also in first layer of the praying, the prayer said, I will pay homage to people who have compassion. That because so compassion is the seeds of you see, compassion actually it itself is already kind of a great source of great wisdom. That relying on compassion, then you generate more positive karma, and the more positive karma you then or actions, then you have gain more many can reborn and pass away, like a mini cycle of life. You kind of gradually become more you can get, you can accumulate more positive circumstances or positive merit. And then it's like you can say in the family education, they always teach kids that you should have guidelines of your own life, some principles. And then when I remember one teacher sent a letter, handwriting letter towards his nephew. And then he said, he's far away from his hometown, and said, a few words of asking his situation and some introduce the reporting his own situation, family situation, this. And then he said, in the monastic community, one thing is very, very bad thing to do is stealing. It's also sometimes once in a while could happen. Then he said, don't steal anything from anybody. And if you are hungry, even you are hungry to towards to death, I'd rather you to die, but not still like that, the monk. Monk, this one who written letter, wrote letter, he eventually attained to rainbow body of when he passed away. Many people kind of identified, said that they are witness person. This person kind of become a light rainbow. And of course, this is almost for normal people like us. We think it's another lie right there, something like that. But in tradition, we think this is possible, and also a lot of name and stories like that. And he passed away in 1958, I think. This person is not long ago. His nephew exiled to Nepal, and then there is a community and a college, a Buddhist college. He become teacher there, and now he passed away. But when he passed away, people digging into his treasure box or something, but old, not treasure, but scriptures and what he belonged to him, some wooden box, and they found this letter written by his uncle. And Nila Topden, his name. It's like that. He's become a very, very good scholar, and I knew some people, or my relative, also some of my relative is or his student. It's his student. It's like that. So we said we should have some basic guideline. Then you gradually accumulate many deeds, good deeds, and then you don't fall to bad behaviors and then actions. And then eventually you have approaching better situation, more advanced kind of environment, or good karma. I mean, if you say good karma, maybe it's like anything you exercise more, you become familiar. Similarly, good and bad behavior is same. If you are more involved into those situation and activity, you become like more habituate that situation, or you have a more that situation. So with the compassion, you train more and more, and then you will in progress in certain level, and eventually there is fully matured compassion, or we can say that is bodhicitta. Bodhicitta have two aspects. One is weakened mind, or of emptiness, it's a wisdom aspect. You know nature of things, and how things appear, and what is nature of things. That is wisdom. And then similarly also, you have a boundless compassion. So then it's like a seeds become fruition, like compassion seeds become an enlightened mind. And then that is a fruition also, or you can say same as a Buddha's state of total enlightenment. So and then it's a we have a in previous time we have some we can say enlightened deeds, or mind is too distracted, enlightened mind, if you, like as a normal people, you want to achieve enlightenment, in Paramita teachings, often talking about two things. One is the skillful means, and one is wisdom. Skillful means also have a variety of meaning. It's including how you the self-discipline, and also generous to people, or love, have a compassion to people, and dedicate to have a study more or practice more, and even the samadhi meditative practice is very important. It said purifying your mind and accumulate merit, these tools always, of course, important. Like you always have a, try to be healthy, and also any unhealthy life or substance, you want to purify it or to guard and filter it. Similarly, you should also, the thinking and the process of mind, in the mind, you also have a guard your mind, and any negative things you should kind of avoid, or if already existed in the mind, we should kind of purify ourselves. These, and then wisdom aspect, have the foundation of at least you should try to attain your mind, and look here, study your mind, and train your mind, or play with your mind. You think how this mind we can use as very spontaneously by our wish, and the mind are very powerful or unpredictable kind of a nature. Only you, by training, they can become your own kind of a they can serve you, or you can say you can be with the good, this mind, companion with this mind, in good way. Let's say, used to use the elephant as a very strong and wild elephant. And the alchemy of training your mind, it's like how you train the elephant. And then the elephant you can use for good purpose. You can ride elephant or use for labor. Similarly, of course, we just train your mind as using for path to enlightenment. You can properly kind of apprehend or tame yourself, and then use for good purpose. Otherwise, it's kind of difficult to have a progress in general mind without proper training and studying. So that's why I said that you should avoid previous any negative agitated or mind scattered habituation, and you're also tired of it. If you think in long run and short run, short terms, you're already very familiar with our in a society, you can see so many people suffered by emotional traumas, and cannot control their temperament, and also different type of mental issues and psychological issues. These are creating a lot of sufferings towards people in daily basis. So in this, we should think, now we should find some methods, and then see what is the behind of this kind of stories and how we can kind of overturn negativities and become kind of positive outcome. So it's like a dedication or not dedication, strong conviction and determination. You think, you decide to, in the future, past is past already, you cannot take it back. But I already see what I want, what I don't want. So in the future, I will follow the advice of, recalling their advice of a wise, it's a footstep of a wise. I will follow the footsteps of wise, recalling their advice on carefulness. I will shun all sleep and mental dullness. So it's carefulness and dullness. I will shine all sleep and dullness. That's why that we're talking about this because some people think meditation is just not thinking of anything and almost kind of sleeping kind of state. Stable is very important. Of course, yes, that's very true. Stabilize your mind and not disturbed by any kind of thoughts, those trainings. But the second, you have to wear, if only stable, it doesn't achieve much. Stabilizing your mind and not thinking anything. We are meditating every night, maybe 6-7 hours of sleeping time, not much activities, and maybe on dream time. People have a less sleeping time than it's 5-6 hours. But we didn't really achieve enlightenment by just sleeping. So similarly said, in scriptures always saying, don't do long term in the beginning the meditation, duration, the time limit you should put in very exactly. You feel very nice, feeling happy and joy, then you can stop. And the next time, don't kind of take too long. 5 minutes today and then few days later, 5 minutes. These also doesn't work much. But if you do meditation in short term, if you have 1 hour, you can separate that 1 hour to maybe 5-6 kind of terms, sections. And if you don't necessarily have to stand up and go somewhere, but even you are sitting in 1 hour, you should not make yourself too drowsiness and tired and sleepy dullness. You always very fresh and vivid and carefulness, you said, and very alert, aware. Awareness is very, very important. It's said without awareness, the stableness is like ignorance, like not reflecting anything. So it's important. I think many people, of course, just want to relax, then it's a different story. But if you use meditation just for relax, it's one way to use it. But if you say, I'm trying to practice Mahayana or tradition, then we have to always keep mind, don't too distracted by things, agitated by things, but same time also have to keep that alertness and awareness. That is a really key point for that meditation. So this is also making another decision, not only leave past behind and then future you change something, but also said it's like a compassionate Buddha and Bodhisattvas, Shantapi, that's the efforts. Compassion, it's here said, here, oh yes, Buddha's here. doing the meditation or anything good, you should put effort. So, if you have a group of people or one person by yourself, you keep the discipline and to practice. Not only one day, 2 days. Some people maybe say, "Oh, I already did half a year of meditation. Doesn't happen much, or nothing happened to me." And then I thought this doesn't work anymore. I don't want it. I'd rather to go to a bar or some gym or other things, to concert. Feel much better. And then it doesn't really help. This is not the way to do it. It said our behavior or anything, like for example, if we have to read and write one language, another language, not your mother tongue, then you also have to put a lot of effort, maybe not 6 months, but maybe more, 1 year or 2 years, even more. If you study some major, you have to put 3 years, or based on periods, you already have a mini understanding on the skills. These are just kind of some branches of skills and knowledge. But if you say, "Oh, I want to solve the fundamental problem by even less time," then it's difficult. He said, "This is a kind of eons of eons we have this issue with us. By solving, we should dedicate this life after life. We should continue." Then, of course, people said, 3 years, then forget about it. This is not for me. It's too long. But for some people, 3 years, I would definitely, with encouragement, courage, they want to do it. And everyone is very different. But at least we should have this in mind. Even necessary, I will dedicate to practice life after life. And then not like saying, "Oh, life is short, I only kind of do any things like in short, predictable, yes. Predictable also, you can see that outcome also reachable in this lifetime. In Dharma also, there are a lot of varieties of teachings, even Bodhisattva. I said, in this life, you also can predict many things. Some people form very, very negative kind of attitude, and through studying way of Bodhisattva or other texts, and after they study and before, they already have very much changed. And as you can see, immediate. Even when one verses, if you deeply analyze and think about it, you may have another level of you have a more deeper understanding and the cultivations. You want to, for you, many things are changed by just one single verses, understanding of one verses. I remember one friend, so when I was 20 or something, he said he read one called 37 practice of Bodhisattva verses, 37 verses, and then on the train 2 days, and then he said he's totally changed person after that. I think it's possible, some people. So anyway, this is saying we should have a not short-sighted, but have not oneself, but all other sentient beings with care, and not one short month or days or years even, but have a life after life to dedicate to practice this bodhicitta. And until that all gone beyond of samsara, they said. And how will I do all this? This, let me say, oh, 1 second. This to banish all obscuring veils, I will bend my mind from the sticking path, and constantly upon the perfect object, I shall rest my mind in even meditation. So of course this is the meditation part of the section of teaching. So it's said, meditation is the key or path to reach enlightenment. That's why nowadays meditation is not too foreign or too unfamiliar terms for people. Meditation, or people understood that. If you are doing meditation, people don't have a criticizing you or discriminate you. You think they will accept most of society. They think that's a good thing to do. But if you say, I'm doing meditation for enlightenment, become a Buddha, then people think you are crazy. you are saying more than that I want to become a president of the USA or something. And then, but for us, for Buddhist practitioners, we said Buddha is not far. Buddha is in the nature of the mind. When you realize it, that you already become Buddha. You have a tendency to able to realize yourself. That's all. And then for that, you have to overcome some obscurations and some habituation. You have to train by step and not falling into wrong path, and to use proper guidance and even textbook and a way of doing, way of meditation. Then he said, samadhi. Sammi is because in Chinese words and in sammi it's more advanced meditation. It's not just meditation. Even meditation, what does it mean? Even meditation. Even meditation, I think it's a equal, even. But, that means almost it's actually saying the tame of wisdom of Buddha's mind. It's a highly kind of accomplished meditative state. And then we will begin verse chapter 9.
The first verse?
Yes, please.
All these branches of the doctrine, the enlightened sage expounded for the sake of wisdom. Therefore, they must cultivate this wisdom who wish to have an end of suffering.
And then here, so all these branches of doctrine, it said previous kind of chapters, we already talking about the generosity, self-discipline, and patience, diligence, and meditation, these part of practice training yourself. They all also accomplished or perfect by the six paramita or six transcendental wisdom, sake of wisdom, that I say expanded for the sake of wisdom, led into sage. And this Buddha expanded. I said, this, because of the previous five paramitas or transcendental deeds or practice, is the skillful means, part of the skillful means, and six is the wisdom. You also can say there's a stabilizing meditation, concentrating one-pointed mind meditation, single-point mind meditation, and also that penetrating into the nature of phenomenon to analyze what is nature of phenomenon. Then this is six paramita or wisdom. Or you can say shamatha and vipassana or concentrated meditation and analyzed meditation. Then concentrate the part is for, because this is a kind of a platform to really elaborate or exercise or understanding of wisdom. So this six, the wisdom as for the branch is very important. So when 100 verses of Panja Paramita or Sutra, Transcendental Wisdom Sutra, it's called, he said, Buddha's disciple, for Buddha taught to him, said, all rivers merge, reach into Ganga River, and then Ganga River eventually goes to into ocean. And similarly, all the positive deeds and accumulations and the purifications, these practices, all have to based on or merging into wisdom, associated with wisdom. And then that's become enlightened, kind of a source of enlightenment. Those practices are not only worldly kind of benefit, but it's become wisdom, become chief source of achieving that fully enlightenment path or fully enlightened fruition, I think. You have to achieve that by wisdom. Without wisdom, what do we do? Do good thing and Batting, of course, we're definitely stuck in the samsara. But even you do all good things without analyzing the wisdom, then we're still in the higher realms of wisdom, samsara. But higher realms of samsara, it's for normal people like us, we are, kind of with our own experience and knowledge, we think this is a good and this is a very fantastic, that kind of feeling. It's very small. We can have a very limited understanding of enjoyment and the capability of the mind and the achievement of the mind are very limited. But with the wisdom of from this human form, our achievement compared to the devas, devis, and gods, we are very small, as we said before. And compared to bodhisattva and the others, all cyclic existence of realms in the samsara realms, or these, in Buddhist, they're often talking about three realms of a six class of sentient beings. Six realms means a formless realm. It's most kind of advanced beings achieving by samadhi meditation. It's attained their mind in highly advanced, but not able to go on transcendental, kind of go beyond of their existence. But they're already very, very subtle mind with a subtle existence and a lot of capability and not blocking by kind of gross or obscurations like us. And then there is a four class of formless realms, and then form realms, there are 17 different class of existence beings, and then they categorize also in four meditative achievement, and then on that bottom lower than that is the six class of six realms of the form. Desire realms. Desire realms, it's six different levels. They are sub kind of branches. There's so many sub branches in that class. And then this is only talking about God realms, these three, as we said, formless, form, and desire, three realms. And then what we are part of, we are not a class of God and devis or devas, but we are human level realms of human beings. And then we are part of the desire realm of a human existence. And then there, basically, it's the same four major and four kind of minor realms. And four major realms, we are one of four major realms. And one of the kind of class of existence. Human being, they're talking about different type of human beings in cosmic existence. Some are much better than us, much advanced. The way of living, way of being, and society very different from us. The environment and the source of nowadays they are very widely spread, widely spread words. Sustainable source is very different from us. And then we are, sometimes it's a little better than other beings, human beings, but we are in the middle almost. And then in that demigod realm, we have a, our good side and their good side. We are not too kind of far. And the animal also not too far, because we can see animal directly and their life and the cycle of existence. And then we go lower, it's more kind of unfortunate, more and more. So, when we say do this meditation and all the good virtues, do virtuous activity and with meditation these, and eventually rely on the wisdom to go beyond of this three realm, six class of existence. And then where are we heading to? It's we are saying one is to achieve self, realize what is the nature of your mind, and then it's called as a heart sutra, famous sutra, often emphasized. My the form and emptiness. Form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. And then form is not other than emptiness. Emptiness also not other than form. This is a Mahayana kind of a teaching about the wisdom. And Theravadan tradition or basic vehicles also have a similar understanding about this mind. It said, mind is not the five aggregates. And also you can say five aggregates functions rely on the mind. So, but mind not possessed by five aggregates, or these are not possessions of mind. They are not. If you go deep, each of these aggregates or accumulated power, you cannot find mind. Then they go penetrate in the selflessness kind of wisdom. And then gone beyond of any limitations and any kind of existence. So it's called nirvana. Nirvana means generally for arhat is total mind, no thought, no reactions, no nothing. It's like completely peace. Achievement of not interact with any phenomenon like that, and he's achieving that. But the Mahayana, the Bodhisattva, of course, some people say, "Oh, what is that?" Then, or I don't maybe think I would like to have entertainment and some even suffering. I like to have a. Some feelings. If you don't have a feeling, you become vegetable people or something. What is this is very different, of course, as you understand. Arhat have a very capabilities in the lifetime and in his period before tending fully kind of arhat. There are four stages of kind of achievement. Each one have a great capacity to see things in their own we are suffered by, we can say, afflicted emotions very much, and for arhat that part is already kind of completely tamed, so arhat won't be disturbed by any kind of emotional waves. So for those it's great already achieved. That doesn't mean they don't understand anything also, something like that. But there's a saying, arhat can remember many eons of past lives, and these they have these capabilities. But eventually they have some kind of when they want to self-exhaustment, they want completely nothing to do with the phenomenon. Then it's a kind of a final part of Arhat. They don't want to kind of interact or anything like that. But in some Mahayana teachings, of course, say the seeds of the awareness is still there. So they can be transformed one day or something to greater understanding of a phenomenon, emptiness of a phenomenon. That means more progress on the path of shunyata, or we can say things are lacking of intrinsic existence, that part of progressing, that part of wisdom. So anyway, that is the arhat. And then bodhisattva. Bodhisattva, or bodhisattva has said they purposely didn't tend to the self-existent or distinguish the total kind of achieving peace, nirvana, that part. Said the bodhisattva, because of they have a fully understanding the mind and the phenomenon, both sides. Arhat only try to can eliminate the mind and distractions and obscurations. The phenomena doesn't really care about much of that phenomenon, how it existed or not. It's not his kind of attention to realize that part. But bodhisattva see not only self achievement, the attained self-achievement of shunyata, or you can say nature of mind, how they already attained, but also see the nature of a phenomenon itself, not only mental this, but a reflection of the mental phenomenon towards environment, or you can say basic general phenomenon. Then bodhisattvas, because of his compassionate nature, he would don't kind of want to attain self kind of peace. And because of his able to realize nature of realize the nature of phenomenon and self, both sides, so he don't tend to nirvana and don't leave samsara behind. So being with the compassion, he is in samsara. With his wisdom attainment, he won't burn or suffer by phenomenon, kind of a relative existence. He won't burn out. He won't create negative karma in actions in the relative world. And that is more deeper and deeper, goes deeper than the two obscurations. Emotional obscurations, analytical obscurations are exhaust deeper and deeper. When bodhisattva kind of achievement is higher than the two accumulations, wisdom and merit are become greater, and the two obscurations are exhaust or decrease. Then until the final is the enlightenment of Buddha. then there is no need to do anything like a meditative kind of control their mind. You can say mind realize emptiness, and then with the phenomenon, it's kind of emptiness and form and emptiness is separate kind of a practice already decreases, then total Buddhahood is spontaneously happen. Those know all things at one time, and then also and see things as it is, and this is a and also in the he won't. Let's see. So as you see a phenomenon as it is, it's a kind of a Buddha's capability for all time, no time limit. This way is said, mind don't live past and present and future, and in this concept, the Buddha's mind is called, and sometimes it's called all-knowing kind of qualities. In different theistic teachings, also saying knowing all, but in Buddhist they count 10 qualities. And 14, fearless. And there are many other way to describe what it actually means, these achievements. So it's said, knowing all phenomena as it is, and same time he won't this wisdom won't misunderstand anything. That kind of wisdom in detail.
So
yes, please, yes. And then he also said, first the Bhumi, and the second, there is some very kind of relatively big difference. First, the ground of Bodhisattva, and second ground, there is a kind of a big difference. And then seven and eight Bodhisattvas, there is a great kind of a difference or achievement is there. It's from seven to eight. And tenth is the, of course, different way to count what is a Bhumi or ground, but the tenth is already very close to Buddha. And 11 sometimes said it's a Buddha's ground. These are, if you're interested in this, you can read 10 stages of Buddha, Bodhisattvas, 10 stages of Bodhisattva. And sutra of 10 stages. I think there is a one sutra. And also you can read fundamental wisdom of roots verses on transcendental wisdom that is written by Nagarjuna based on the 10 bhumis or 10 ground of Bodhisattva. And then another book is the Introduce to is introduce on the transcendental wisdom. That also explanation of Nagarjuna's book, Mula Majjhimika Karika. It's a kind of also the roots stands roots verses on transcendental wisdom or that kind of book. So it said, Buddha's main teaching often progressing on the wisdom aspect part. His three vehicles also based on the level of teaching, his wisdom aspect mainly divided to three vehicles. And for some, they taught the fiber aggregates are lacking of a solid independent existence. That's why he taught 12 link of dependent origination, 12 link of dependent origination. And second turning of view, this is a part of the second turning view of Dharma, this wisdom. And third turning view of wisdom, then is more kind of a full, perfect kind of wisdom. But this is already in the perfect, but not full content. And then in one Bodhicitta commentary on Bodhicitta, he said, oh, this one, I think we can read the next verses, please.
Not in ultimate, these, the two truths are declared to be. The ultimate is not within the reach of intellect. The intellect is said to be the relative.
Well, these are also very important. In many traditions, they have this two truths, in Indian special traditions, but the content of two relative and ultimate is very different. Even within Buddhism, there are various level of understanding of these relative and ultimate meaning of that. As we said, turning wheel of three times, and also in Vajrayana tradition, they have kind of another level of explaining these two truths. But generally, we can say with this content of his following, but Shantideva is greatest master and scholar, great practitioner and accomplished one. He was following the Nagarjuna tradition. So this we should explain this more in from point of view of Madhyamika, Mula Madhyamika Karika, or the roots verses of transcendental wisdom. And from that it's saying two truths. I think in a normal society we don't heard much about two truths. What is two truths? Father and mother or something? Not much or this feeling. But it's said, beyond mind, these are, maybe people think, you're fooling me, this concept of saying beyond mind. What is beyond mind? Some things are, there's a, definitely. But if you use methodology, like logic and even math, you can see there is a possible to analyze these things. And then it's two truths. One is a relative world, like us. We are not denying by saying emptiness or something, by denying existence of these phenomena, these kind of laws of the existence, and material existence, from physics and what's it called, chemistry, and many other kind of way to study things. That is saying, if you find math, chemistry, or physics law of these, and works in that way in certain time and space, that is relative truth. And there is a speed, and there is a algebra or something. And these are, everybody can study and then can prove it, then it's a relative truth. And then there's a opposite, reverse, the 颠倒的怎么说呢? 颠倒的这种的世俗. And there is a misunderstanding of the relative truth. I thought it's truth. It's like many traditions, or even in scientific communities, they don't find out that real truth, but they temporarily see this as a truth, something conclusion or some predictions, but not proved, also not even in future, they prove it's wrong. That kind of understanding is called upside down kind of, misunderstanding kind of relative truth, including many superstitions, possible. Some superstition, it's a real superstition, we think this is a totally superstition, maybe not, maybe not. Some we think this is true, but it's a superstition. So some we think it's a superstition. Actually, it's a superstition. Maybe. Some, it's the same, similar like that. These are, you have to say, there are, we think it's truth, but actually not truth. That kind of situation exists. And these are both part of the relative truth. And then, what we are talking about, another truth is ultimate truth. It said, it's only achievable by internal maturement, internal mind, enlightened mind. Only not to increase your kind of we study critical study things through the critical thinking is one very powerful logic is very powerful thing to study, and it's said this is a for relative, not for ultimate. And for ultimate, you have to go into your own kind of the nature of cognitive the elements or the functions or why this analyzation is existed. From this, you say it's insight. It's not studying and copying or some imitating kind of mind, even not crazy thinking or projection and many illusions, hallucination. Or these are not part of the insight. And then the mind turn inwardly, or you can study this and then study this through relative. But automatically you may got some kind of enlightened, said, oh, that is beyond of words, beyond of thinking. So these are, said, relative truth can be kind of a chief ultimate, inspiring to you to achieve ultimate truth. Or you can turn mind inward like meditation is more direct approach. You can understand mind or understand truth much easier. Mind turn inwardly. And then you can a certain right kind of cause and the conditions make you progress on that path. And eventually you have a realized. That's why we always praising many realized teacher or realized beings, including Buddha, who has a, let's say, he's not like a PhD degree or something like that. He's playing and in a palace, but after that he's kind of fully kind of able to answer everything. Those such beings are existed, I think, not to, they said Buddha can be in many kind of time and space. Not only one Buddha, but countless Buddha existed in all era, existed in realms of realms. But this concept, if you say, so it's using the words of eight extremes, said beyond of these four boundaries, eight extremes, then it's said you can taste the ultimate truth. These are including there is or there isn't. And then and there is and isn't both valid and both not valid. So these two, four are kind of four boundaries. And then, of course, born and ceasing and coming and going and one and multiple and those kind of and existence, and yi sheng mie, lai qu, 还有什么？ 你记得八遍。 I'm counting this eight, and it's the kind of appears or disappears. This is the one. And one and more than one, kind of starting one, and if you say multiple things, then it's also there's a conflict with these two words. What is the one? What is more? And more means two, three, four, five, all of it. And then what is the kind of, of course, this coming and going means very deep philosophical teachings about this, but we don't go deeper in this moment. And then it's a chandan. Yes. It's a permanent existence, or it's like a nihilism, and existentialism, these philosophies. And they said thoughtless or beyond thoughts or beyond of, what is this, or it's intellect means beyond of these. And then it's if you belong to these, it means relative. It doesn't mean relative truth, but the relative can be relative truth and also relative false. And then ultimate truth means gone beyond of these four and eight. And then one more, please. Verses.
In this regard, the views of ordinary folk are undermined by idiots.
So it said totally these kind of two truths are analyzed. As we said, there are many ways to divide it, two truths, but okay, this content we say yogis who already kind of enlightenment or achieved kind of a total realization of shunyata through the meditation of shamatha and vipassana, and then they consider this person have able to kind of realize the ultimate truth, but the rest of like that person or these people who already achieve wisdom, meaning of deep, not words, not intellect, but by experience actualize it, experience it, and they're also experienced through, as we said, proper kind of guidance, and also we sometimes the scriptures, and of course the sutra, these teachings are very important to us. And then some teachers, and very if they have a very good experience, and then give you words and more explanation can help, and to expand that understanding of what is ultimate. And then eventually, not a teacher, not a Buddha, not a Bodhisattva, but you should actualize it, and by your own experience. So that is a kind of a ornament of your own kind of realization. So, for three kind of elements, rely on the sutra, rely on the people who have already have experienced teacher, and yourself, the final is yourself, your realization. And then it's said, in this world, kind of worldly life, worldly kind of society, we could find or could actualize these both. We can see both these two existent or relative and ultimate in their mind. So people who don't have a insight of Shunyata or wisdom, in not intellectually but experiential realization of emptiness is not there, then it compare of the category, then these people are in category of ordinary folk, right? Yes. Yes, then it's said, if you one person who already realized, a person who already realized emptiness, then they can explain, or they can understand, or we say, they are honestly, you can say they are undefeatable from conceptual kind of argument by realization of emptiness by themselves. He said one person who realized emptiness, even the Buddha appeared, said this is wrong, they will think this is right. They have these convictions and are confident about understanding this deep realization. It's like that. So anyway, we stop here. Dedication prayers. As the courageous Manjushri understood, and just like Shamada Patra as well, I now dedicate all this virtue, following their example, one and all, since dedication has been praised as a spring by all the victorious ones throughout three times. All the fundamental virtues I have, I fully dedicated to practice in this book. By this merit, may all attain omniscience, then defeat enemy wrongdoing. From stormy waves of birth, old age, sickness and death, from the ocean of existence, may all beings be free. By this virtue, may all beings complete the collections of merit and wisdom, and attain secret kayas that arise from merit and wisdom. Through this goodness, may all missions be attained, and thereby may enemy mental defilement be overcome. Be beings be liberated from ocean of samsara, which is troubled by wave of birth, old age, sickness and death. Thank you very much.